I have been involved in a study out of the University of California at San Francisco that looked at the ability of nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and physician assistants to provide aspiration abortion. So my primary research has been around providers other than physicians providing abortion care. And in as part of my engagement with that study, I became aware of the importance of providing that group of providers, nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and physician assistants, with information about miscarriage management, because not every state allows advanced practice providers to perform abortions, but all of us manage patients who have had miscarriages. And so many of the techniques are the same and the same skill set, the same medications, that I recognize the importance of sharing that information very specifically to that group of providers, because it is so important for those of us doing that kind of clinical gynecological care to have those tools. Miscarriage management, it can be accomplished in one of three ways: through the use of medications, through aspiration of the uterus, or by expectant management. So what, as a nurse midwife, we like to call watchful rate waiting. And interestingly enough, expectant management is as successful as using misoprostol alone for managing retained products of conception after a failed pregnancy in the first trimester. So I always think in terms of those three options, and I'm very committed to the patient engagement around the decision making about which option to follow, because every person who has a miscarriage, or what we call spontaneous abortion, has a different set of needs around managing the completion of that process. 80% of the time, Mother Nature will manage it completely without any problems. It won't require any additional medication. It won't require any additional procedures. But patients obviously should be part of the discussion about what approach is going to be most important to them when they clearly are no longer going to proceed to a successful pregnancy and they want to ameliorate the symptoms they're experiencing. One is privacy. Not everybody has shared their pregnancy news. Not everybody feels comfortable sharing what they want to do about what they're experiencing. So privacy is really important. Pain management is really important. There are about a dozen different things that we should address with patients. Do they have insurance that will cover the cost of a procedure? Are they eager to have this over with quickly by having a procedure as opposed to the watchful waiting or speeding things up a little bit by using medications? So the kinds of informed consent that we give are as much about how is this going to fit into your life as it is, these are the things you can expect from any of these three modalities. One issue is, as I said, getting over with quickly. One issue is, are you afraid of pain? Do you feel really strongly that you have adequate pain management? Are you prepared to just wait and deal with whatever happens? And one of the things that I think is really important for providers to be thinking about is how quickly someone can get into a higher level of care if they need it. So I live in a very rural state and have practiced in rural states in the past, and it's really important to understand the systems of care that people will have available to them. So if someone decides that they'll just do expectant management and wait to see what happens, but then they start to bleed heavily, How quickly will they be able to get to a facility to help them manage that? Also, will they have 24/7 access to someone who can talk that through with them? So as I said before, this is 20 to 25% of pregnancies end in miscarriage. And so that is something that's very common in OBGYN practice, primary care practice. And I think all levels of primary care providers really should have access to being able to counsel patients appropriately if they're not in a position to be able to provide the skill and treatment methodologies that are going to fit best for that patient. Use of mifepristone as one of the medication agents to assist with miscarriage management has only been around for about 4 years. And the product labeling for mifepristone right now does not include the ability to use it for miscarriage management. And because it's primarily available as an abortifacient, the restrictions on providers, A, to be able to get it to distribute, and B, the protocols that must be followed are pretty narrow. And I think that one of the challenges we have, certainly with the change in Roe v. Wade, is addressing this issue with the FDA, because as abortion is restricted in more places, and the downstream effects of that on access to contraception and access to care on so many levels is being restricted. And management of miscarriage is definitely going to be affected by the restrictive laws that are being put into place for access to abortion care, and very specifically this medication. A side effect of any kind of procedure is heavy bleeding. We can't predict how someone's uterus is going to respond to instrumentation or medication. There are not a tremendous number of physiological side effects to mifepristone, but as a progestin agonist like misoprostol, there is the potential for GI effects, vomiting, nausea, diarrhea. Misoprostol also can cause an increase in temperature. So any kind of known allergy to any of these medications is really important, obviously, to regard. But patients should be counseled that as their bodies respond to a pregnancy that's not going to be able to continue, that they may have heavy bleeding that might require some kind of intervention. It's important to note that that is less than 2% of the time for most of these approaches to miscarriage management. And again, I think patient preference is really important. People need to understand how this is going to affect their lives and all the complicated ways that our lives are now. So in addition to contraindications, we need to make sure that people are prepared for what's likely to happen. Passage of tissue can be painful for people. I mentioned bleeding. There's always a small risk of infection with any kind of retained products of conception and any kind of instrumentation of the uterus. So that always has to be identified as well. Although we don't require people to come back necessarily for a checkup, because in some instances that's just not available or feasible. And we do know that a urine pregnancy test may stay positive for at least 2 weeks, maybe up to four. So it's really important for patients to monitor their own symptoms in terms of the resolution of the pregnancy symptoms, and also to understand that their fertility can return quickly within 2 weeks. So we don't counsel people to avoid attempting a pregnancy again right away. We have good research to show that there are no downsides to trying to get pregnant again after a miscarriage, but some people need some time for emotional recovery. Sure. It is a pregnancy loss, and whether it's expected or intended, that has some emotional component to it that people need to be aware of and need to be able to address if they find themselves really struggling with what it means to have gone through that. This is something that is widely available to nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and physician assistants, that every patient who's having a miscarriage does not need to go to the emergency room or does not need to have a surgical resolution. And of course, there are times when that is indicated, but I think if we can counsel patients in an outpatient setting and work with them about their preferences for care, that one thing is obviously it will be greater patient satisfaction. It will be less of a strain on our healthcare system in terms of the economic demands that having a hospital admission requires. And it is just a really important thing for people to understand that someone who's having bleeding in pregnancy after evaluation may not need to go to the OR. And I think that's something that we don't entirely appreciate in our highly technologically focused world of medicine. I've covered a lot of what I wanted to communicate in the talk, particularly related to the importance of working with patients to identify what's going to be most important for them. And to recognize that this is totally within the scope of practice of nurse practitioners, particularly in OBGYN settings where we always think, oh, you're having a miscarriage, you need to go to the operating room. Right. And those of us in rural areas or, you know, practicing independently can do a lot of this care on our own.